My name is Joshua Ragsdale. You are listening to Iced Out. This is a podcast where I'm going to be talking about, you know, all things hockey with a little bit of an Alabama bend to it whenever we can get one. And today we've got one because sitting across from me is, well, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, actually.
Hey, guys. I'm Trey Howes. I'm the president of the Alabama hockey team. I'm going to be a junior on the team this year. My second year, I'm a forward from Westboro, Massachusetts, and I'm happy to be on the pod.
Yeah, so not only are you a guest on the pod, you're our first guest, too, awesome. So that's a rare place of honor. So.
Oh, honor. Thank you, guys.
So why don't you start? Tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, where you're from, all that kind of stuff.
Like I said, I'm from Westboro, Massachusetts. I grew up just basically playing hockey there. You know, when you grow up in Massachusetts, it's everything you have in terms of hockey is right in your backyard, basically. So rinks were really close. It's really easy to love the game. I mean, even in the wintertime, just skating on ponds and stuff that's frozen, it's really hard to not love it and to not do it a lot. So it was just kind of brought up with me growing up. And then after high school, I decided I wanted to pursue it a little bit more. So I played junior, which is basically just, you know, a full-time hockey schedule. It's essentially just like a pro schedule, but you're not being paid because it's before college. And I love that. And then decided to come down here because, like I said, I spent basically my whole life in Massachusetts. And I love it to death, but I knew I wanted a different experience. And I'm definitely happy I came down here. No more snow, you know. Really hot. I can wear flip-flops for Christmas and all that stuff. So, yeah, basically just like a small-town kid from up north that wanted to get away from home. So I came down here. I actually knew a player on the team before I came because Kalen Briere, I played with him in junior. So he told me when he came down here a year before me, I loved it. You know, it's a great experience. And I honestly had never seen the school before. I hadn't visited. I had only talked to him and the coach. And I just decided to almost gamble. And I came down. I love it. It's so much fun. And it's awesome. And I'm happy that I came down here as opposed to staying up north.
Do you ever see yourself, like, taking a leadership position inside the club when you were planning on coming?
Yeah, I mean, to start, Kalen was actually the president when I came down. So that was honestly, like, he really helped me come in. And when the spot opened up, I definitely wanted to be that person that almost helped kids come in and assure them that they were going to have fun. So, I mean, I think initially last year, I wasn't really, you know, I was an underclassman. It's a lot different, I think. But going into this year, I thought that I could really help. And there's a lot of aspects that I think maybe we could alter a little bit. So I'm happy that, you know, I was able to get the position, and I have really good people helping me with the executive board, so.
Who do you have in there helping out?
We have Greg Simmons from New York. He's a sophomore. And then Will Zeke, who's a junior with me. And they're both the vice president, Will, and the treasurer is Greg. So they've been great. We basically had not that we had to recreate the board, we just didn't really have assigned positions last year. We just kind of had people filling in. So this year we tried to really have specific positions, and I think that's helping us a lot so far.
Going back to kind of your decision-making process and coming down to Alabama, you know, where other teams like, you know, UAH has a pretty good club hockey program. They also have an NCAA, you know, hockey program too. Were any other teams like really catching your eye down here, or was it just Alabama and to go play with Briere?
For me, growing up in like the smaller Massachusetts area, a lot of the focus is on smaller Division III schools, NCAA schools, because there's a lot less presence of your big, you know, southern hockey schools. Like you've got Alabama down here, you've got schools like Arizona, even Liberty, even though it's a small school, huge hockey market. So for me, it was always about, you know, all my friends were going to smaller schools close to home. And Kalen was really one of the first guys that actually left and went to a big school. And I never really thought about the aspect of a big school until I got to junior and school started to reach out to me. And there were different schools from the South that reached out to me, but none of them really caught my eye like Alabama. I mean, Alabama, I remember a lot of it was media for me. We had, there was a ton of YouTube videos being made, I think by Moose Media at the time. Cammy was doing a great job with the social media. And it just really made it look so professional to me that I wanted to come down. And I think that was the big difference with us and a lot of other schools is there were schools that had, you know, just as big and fun of a school and, you know, a decent hockey program, but it just didn't look that professional to me from afar. And I think that mixed with the fact that being from the north, it was hard for me to visit. It was just coincidental that Alabama was the one I picked. But I'm definitely happy I did. You know, I've seen a lot of the south now that I've been down here. You know, we do road trips basically everywhere. And there's a ton of beautiful schools down here, but I really love the setup we have here.
Yep. You know, you said that you like the professional aspect of Alabama. Kind of going off of that, have you thought of, you know, pursuing hockey into a professional league? You know, we've got guys like Pierre Ouellette in the SPHL, Jeremy Hanna is sticking it around in Sweden now. So
yeah.
Have you thought about kind of doing what they're doing and trying to break through?
Yeah, no, I think that definitely crosses everybody's mind. I mean, I have a lot of friends that were a few years older than me that are at that stage of their career now where they're kind of finishing up and deciding. And I think a lot of it has to do with just like where you're at the end of 4 years. Like I know for me, my goal is to get a master's. So if that's going to bring me to a fifth year somewhere, I might elect to try to go to like a Division III school up north for my fifth year or something like that. So really for me, it's going to depend where I'm at. I mean, obviously you have to be a super good player to make it in any pro league, especially overseas and in the U.S. But a lot of times I think too, you know, a lot of the guys will get a really good job opportunity right out of college or their senior year. And it's sometimes a gamble to pick if you want to take 5 or 6 years to pursue pros or if you want to have, you know, a nice safe job right away. So a lot of it's going to, I think, be settled over the next 2 years. And if I get an opportunity, I mean, that would be awesome. But if not, you know, it's not going to, you know, it's not like I'm not set on playing hockey for the rest of my life. I understand that I'll probably have to get a job, and I'm looking forward to, you know, being a professional. So,
I mean, you are just a junior too, so you got time to work on everything. Yeah. So, you know, do you think that the way that professional hockey is set up, you know, you've got the NHL, the AHL, ECHL, SPHL, there are like countless different leagues that people can go play in. Do you think that there are more opportunities for, you know, a club Alabama player who maybe isn't going to get as much exposure as an actual NCAA program? You know, do you think that there are still good opportunities for guys like that?
Absolutely. I think a lot of times where you'll see guys like that go is overseas, because a lot of times just financially the way it works overseas is a lot of stuff gets taken care of you over there for you over there. Where you look at an AHL or an East Coast salary over here, you're going to get a little bit more money, but you're gonna have to be paying for things like your car and your house, all that stuff. Overseas, because there's so many leagues, you're getting paid a little bit less. But a lot of the times, you know, I know people who have had everything from room and board, cars, to like $30 a meal, $30 a day to eat meals, stuff like that. So you might be making $5,000 to $10,000 less, but you know, you're not worried about your car or anything like that. So, I mean, I love the expansion of hockey. I mean, I think because of the expansion everywhere. I mean, there's no room in NCAA, there's no room in ACHA, there's leagues all over Canada, all that stuff. I think that's almost forced the hockey market to open up more pro leagues, because as an owner, you're thinking, how could I not field the team if they're going to sell out, you know? So I think it's good that it's expanding in Europe, and I think it does definitely make it easier for kids in the D3 NCAA level, the D1 ACHA level, to definitely expand their career, whereas, you know, in 20, 30 years ago, kids like us may have not even been looked at. So,
yeah.
Definitely helps.
Yeah, I imagine so. I was looking up pictures of where Hannah's playing, you know, Lidköping.
Yeah.
I'd go move over there if I was getting taken care of to go play hockey. That place looks nice.
Beautiful.
They got like the lake right over there. It's a great view, you know. And a good team too. They're like undefeated or something like that on a year too.
Yeah.
Putting up goals every night.
Everywhere in Europe is nice. There's teams in Germany, Switzerland, Finland. It's endless opportunities over there.
You know, maybe you want to go professional, maybe you want to work a normal job. Let's talk about coaching, too. You know, Alabama has had an interesting history of hockey coaches, you know. Kyle Richards was a player. He never played professionally, though, did he?
No.
Okay, but our D1 head coach now, Phil Tesserio, did play professionally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Alabama has some professional coaches out there. So is that another avenue that you're kind of, you would be open to exploring?
Yeah, no, I think a lot of times people, I mean, the big thing is whether you're going pro or you're going to coach, I think a lot of people have to decide when it is that they want to sort of separate themselves away from the game. And you'll hear a lot of guys talk about life after hockey when they retire. So, I mean, I think a lot of guys, they are so in love with the game of hockey, and I'm totally like this as well, that it doesn't matter if it's playing, coaching, you know, anything, they're going to want to be a part of the game. And those are the type of guys like Phil where, you know, after the pro career is over, they're still going to coach. And those are the guys you really want. I mean, because those are guys who you know aren't doing it for the money. You know they're not there because they're trying to take a job for a certain reason. They're so in love with the game that they want to stay in it, and it doesn't matter if they're playing. It's just like, for example, when your college career is over or your high school career is over, you can choose, do I want to go on, you know, do I want to go to school without hockey and just go to my professional life? Do I want to play? All that kind of stuff. And it's the same thing for me going from high school to junior, junior to college. Similarly, I would say from like a professional level to coaching. So, I mean, coaching would definitely be something I'm open to. I'm planning on moving back to Massachusetts for the latter part of my life, like my professional life. So that's a great place. I mean, every high school has a team. Basically, every town is going to have a club team or a junior team. So absolutely. I mean, even if it's as small as, you know, kids coaching, I'd love to coach. But I'm sure I'm not going to last very long without playing and not want to get back into it.
Yeah, I understand that. A lot of guys seem to kind of, you know, move out of it and then kind of just keep having that longing, you know. Let's get back onto the ice, I guess. Season last year, I think it's safe to say, didn't go how many people wanted it to go for the hockey team here. This year, already kind of not going how we wanted it to, but can you say the news that you heard from the club, Rex? So, okay.
Yeah, so we're recording this October 23rd.
Yep.
This past week, so this is a Friday, this past week, I want to say Monday or Tuesday, we were, it was right after we got the email from the vice president about the school gatherings being more than 30. We got a similar email for our ice hockey team and for our club that we can do gatherings up to 50. So that's going to be really good. That basically okays us to be on the ice. Prior to that, it was we could meet in groups of 8 or less, and there was no on ice. So it's a pretty big step going to basically be able to skate. So we're working on now. It's basically just logistics, getting the ice ready for tryouts, and then setting a date. But yeah, this is a big week. It was news that we were hopeful for, but we weren't positive we were going to get. So that was awesome. That's big news for us.
Yeah, so breaking news here on the first episode of Iced Out, Alabama hockey, getting ready to get back out on the ice. So that's exciting. What do you think that Phil Tesorero brings to the team this year as a new head coach?
Yeah, I think a lot of times the main thing a team will need is change. You know, whether it's for good reasons or bad reasons, you know, change, it's just like pulling a goalie. There's games where the goalie doesn't make any mistakes, but you pull him because you got to send a message to your team. And I think Phil's a really no-nonsense guy, which is going to help guys like us, because I feel like we had a little more relaxed environment last year, which can really work for some teams, but I think for us, we would react a little bit better to authority, which is, I think, what Phil brings. Like I said previously, he loves the game of hockey. He loves the area we're in, which, you know, being down here and loving hockey is a lot less common than being up north and loving hockey. So it's great to have a guy like him that loves hockey. He's not worried about any aspects of the business side of it. He just wants to be here. He wants to help out kids in private lessons, and he wants to help us win. And I'm happy that it worked out the way it was with him. You know, it could have been so much worse. We could have had to find someone, you know, completely different, but him being in the program already with D3, we saw what he did with that team, and he ran that team really well. We think that he can hopefully do that same stuff with us.
Yeah, I happened to be in Pelham during a couple of those practices, and I gotta say, I really liked the way he was running the D3 practices that I was watching, so I'm excited to see what he'll do this year. It's kind of also funny that you say that the Alabama team would might be more geared towards an authoritative figure, because, you know, I mean, also at Alabama, you got Nick Saban, he's got the process, you got Nate Oates now, he's a kidding, no-nonsense guy. Maybe that's just kind of the university's thing is just...
Yeah, no, I mean, I think we try to do everything we can to be like a big Alabama sports tycoon, and if that means changing the coach to an authoritative guy like Nick Saban, I think we're all in for that. So we're excited, and we're hoping we can get the season off and running as soon as possible.
So going back a little bit too, you mentioned that Kalen Briere was the one who kind of pretty much recruited you to Alabama. What's it like to kind of play with a guy who has, you know, that NHL pedigree, you know, and doesn't, he's not the only one on the team who has someone who played in the NHL too, Taylor Joseph's
yes.
dad, right? Mm-hmm. Cujo.
Yeah, Cujo. Well, I'll take you back a little bit further than even here. I remember the first day after our junior team got made, and we walked in the locker room, and you could see everybody's name bar in. We were in Massachusetts playing for the Junior Bruins, and I saw Briere. And I was, I don't know if I was a fan, but I knew big time who Danny Briere was because I was a big Bruins fan. And when I was a kid in 2010, the Bruins were up 3-0 in a series. I think it was the Eastern Conference Finals, and the Flyers came all the way back, and Danny Briere was a huge part of that. So I see this name, and I'm being a huge NHL fanboy was, you know, I was sweating. I was so nervous, like, and not expecting the kid that I met to come in. You know, you're expecting this guy with a bunch of, you know, he's kind of quiet and swagging, and he knows he's from an NHL family. This guy comes in, big smile on his face, nicest guy I ever met. You know, shook my hand, and within 2 months, we didn't start out as roommates, but within 2 months, we were living together because of how well we got along. But just like, you know, sometimes guys will get a rep that, like, if they're in an NHL family or if they're an NHL guy, like, they're, you know, they're kind of an asshole or not a nice person. And I definitely believe there are people like that. But I gotta say, I mean, he's the complete opposite of that. He basically puts that stereotype completely out the window. Super sweet guy. And like I said, I mean, when you consider the fact that I hadn't seen the school before I came here, he's probably 50% of why I came. And there's not a second I don't thank him for having me come here because it's so fun. But especially I think when you're coming to a big school, it helps to have a friend that's already there because it's such an adjustment. You know, I'm going from a school with 3,000 kids to a school with 40, 45,000. You know, it's very overwhelming. I'm having trouble finding all these buildings. But to be able to have someone there already was really helpful. And he was almost like that big brother there for me, whether it was for hockey or for school. And he made the transition so smooth. But going off what you said with Cujo and with Briere, I think it only makes our atmosphere better. I think it's only going to bring more guys that want to come down here. And I think it only enhances the players' experience. I mean, not many guys can say that when they were in college, they were tailgating with the third most goaltending wins goalie of all time, or they had Danny Briere come down. So I think it's awesome. I think it only helps.
Yeah, that's got to be quite the thing you get to say about that. So, let's adjust a little bit, go to the D3 team. You know, first year back in the D3 last year, brought him back. Phil Tesoro was the coach that year. Now, well, if they had been playing this fall, they would have been in the SEC HC again, mm-hmm. in the CHF,
yep,
not the ACHA. What kind of prompted that move?
I think for them, it had a lot to do with travel and stuff like that. I mean, I know for us, it's really kind of like a pick your poison type thing. Even if we were to join a league or a division, excuse me, we would still be traveling an average of 11, 12 hours of bus ride. I think for them it was a lot more efficient to join this league. I think they're going to be going from like 8 or 9 hours to like 3 or 4. So I think for them it's just going to save them on stuff like hotels. They're going to get a lot more games supposedly. And I don't know specifics about the financials, but it's mostly about, you know, being able to, you know, save on hotels, drive ourselves instead of taking buses. And it's really just something that they want to try out for a year, and I think if it works well for them, then that's perfect. Anything that can make it easier for us to get on the ice and get games, I mean, it's difficult enough down here with a lot of schools spread out, so we're all for it if it means that they can play more games.
Well, then, you know, I think Arkansas dropped out of the SEC HC kind of surprisingly, so yeah. I mean, they were undefeated last year in the league, so that's kind of got to open up a little bit of a power vacuum, maybe.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what went on with that. I'm not sure if it was just a one-for-one swap. I think they're trying to get a lot more teams from our area in that league. I think they're really just trying to develop almost like an SEC area style of just like we're not going to travel any further than 8 to 9 hours unless it's obviously like an out-of-conference game, which I think is great. I mean, I think they could do that with the ACHA. I think that they're going to do that with NCAA D1 because you've got schools like Alabama, Huntsville, and Arizona State, you know, where their closest trip is a flight to, you know, Pennsylvania or Massachusetts. So hopefully, like we talked about, with the pros expanding, the college will continue to expand. And with new leagues coming in every year and more teams to the ACHA and to NCAA, it'll hopefully not only mean that every kid can play in college at some sort of level, but it's just going to keep making the game bigger and better.
Okay. Can you say who the D3 coach is this now?
So. Josh Harris. So he's going to be joining us from the Birmingham Bulls. He was playing, I'm not sure how many years he was with them.
I think every year since they restarted.
Yeah, okay, so awesome. Yeah, but he's going to be basically taking over where Phil was. And working with private lessons, working with the D3 team, doing clinics, all that kind of stuff, same stuff Phil does. So I'm sure they're going to be busy because the rink just opened back up, so a lot of guys are trying to skate.
And, you know, he was MVP of the league.
Really?
2018 season when the Bulls made a run. They played Huntsville, the Havoc, in the championship in that league, and that year Harris was MVP. So
that's awesome.
He was a monster on the ice.
No, so. That's good. I mean, anyone with that sort of experience is going to help our guys, you know, whether it's D1 or D3, like just having professionals experience there is just going to make us better on the ice and off. So
all right, we're running a little long, so I'm going to say just one more kind of softball kind of question.
All right,
when the Tide get back out on the ice in the spring, who are some guys that you think can make a big difference?
Let's see. We've got some good freshmen I know already. A couple guys that we've seen on the ice that I won't name yet because we haven't had tryouts, but I know they're going to be a big help for us. Our big guys from last year, Jake Furry will be ready for a big year. Briere, always. But I'm really looking at our junior class. I hope our junior class does a lot for us just because it's so heavy. I mean, we've got 7 or 8+ juniors. We've got really good guys. We've got, you know, guys like Brian Siebel, Gianni Dini, Furry's in there, Zeke's in there. It's a really heavy class. I love all of our classes, but I think the key to a lot of strong school teams is having not only a lot of upperclassmen, but like a good class, you know? And like Liberty, I'm not sure if it was their senior class or their junior class. I think it was their senior class last year, but they had 11 or 12 seniors, and that's just, you know, a really hard team to beat. This year, we're working to stuff like that, and I'm just hoping that if we play how we can, we're going to win a lot of games this year, and we'll see how the playoffs works out, but the main thing is we're on the ice. You know, we're playing hockey because that's what we all came here to do.
And, you know, that was pretty slick, saying the junior class. You're a junior, too, so, you know, you get to say that I'm going to be one of the best guys out there, so without saying it.
I should have brought a list of the roster and just read off every name for the guys.
But, we're getting a little long here, so my name is Joshua Ragsdale. I was joined here on Iced Out by... introduce yourself.
Trey House. Awesome.
And
to be here.
He certainly proved the stereotype that hockey players are one of the most outgoing guys when talking to people. So
awesome.
Pleasure to have you. So
thank you, man.